Well, somebody would have told me that I'd be a Christian someday. I'd probably laugh at their vivid imagination. Now, these are the words of a young man named Flora from Malaysia. Now, Flora, he was a traveling businessman, and he found himself in and out of hotels all the time. And, you know, Flora didn't grow up, he didn't grow up in the Christian faith. He didn't grow up in the Muslim faith. He didn't grow up in any faith. It was really a home devoid of faith. And Flora felt this emptiness for the majority of his life. And, you know, he was traveling on business, and he found himself in a hotel room, sitting on the end of his bed, contemplating, you know, the mysteries of life, asking the questions that we've probably all asked ourselves at some time or another. You know, what is the meaning of this? Why am I here? What am I doing? What is my purpose? And not knowing truly where the answer was. But, you know, sitting on the bedside table over there on the other side of the room was a book that looks like this. You know, a Bible placed by the Gideons, one that probably anybody that's ever traveled anywhere in the world has seen placed someplace. And that book was calling to him for some reason. It was like the Spirit of the Lord said, you know, you, Flora, need to go pick up that book and you need to open it up because I have something to tell you. And Flora was obedient to this urging that was coming in his heart, and he went and he opened up the Word of God, and the Lord began to speak to him. And there was one verse in particular that kind of jumped out at him, and it's from Isaiah, and it says, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. Fear not, for I am with you." And Flora began to feel this peace in his life, like this understanding, like, okay, maybe there is more to life. Maybe there's some answers of what I've been searching for forever in this book that I found in a hotel room. And so Flora, you know, he takes this nice Bible with him when he departs, and he begins to spend more time in God's Word. And through that experience, he eventually gave his life over to the Lord and is a follower of Jesus Christ today. I mean, a single Bible in a hotel room, like I said, that many of us, that we've seen everywhere we go. And this young man from Malaysia's life was changed for eternity. Now, if you're anything like me, before I knew what the Gideons were all about, I mean, I had no idea what the Gideons were all about. I didn't know if they were elves that snuck into the hotel rooms in the middle of the night and put Bibles there. I didn't have any idea. I just knew that somehow there was Bibles that said placed by the Gideons were in any hotel room that I'd ever been in. And about 8 years ago, I got an invitation to have dinner down at the Red Lion with somebody I didn't know, something to do with the Gideons. And the Lord told me I should go have dinner that night, and I did. And I learned a little bit that there was more to these magical elves that put Bibles in hotel rooms, that it was actually men of God calling, answering the call for what God has placed on their heart to do, and that is to share His Word. Now, the hotel Bible is our instant recognition of the Gideon ministry, but I want to share with you that there's really quite a bit more to it. I mean, the Gideon Ministry, it's an international organization of business and professional men who, along with our wives that make up the Gideon Auxiliary, we really have one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's to bring saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to men, women, boys, and girls, wherever we can do that. And we do that by putting God's Word in different pathways of people's lives. Most recognizable, of course, is the hotel motel Bibles, but they're shared in prisons. They're shared in hospitals. They're shared on the streets in front of our public schools. They're shared with the military. They're shared with firemen and policemen. They're shared in care centers. Wherever we can intersect with people's lives in different pathways where they might have a need to know and to understand the Lord is what the Gideon's purpose is and really what their main function is. Now, the first hotel Bible, just for a little history, went into a hotel in Superior, Montana back in 1908. So what is that? 109 years ago? Did I do that right? 109 years ago. Since that time, 2.2 billion, with a B, copies of God's Word has been placed somewhere in the world. Or almost 2.2 billion. I think when I looked last week, it was 1.168. But you know that at the rate that we're going, there's a copy of God's Word being placed every time your heart beats. So every 2 seconds, boom, boom, there's a copy of God's Word being placed somewhere in the world. So during the time that we're together, and I'm not going to do the math, but 40 minutes, 2 seconds, somebody can do the math. You look like a young, sharp young man. You can do the math. You can tell me how many copies of God's Word has been placed by the time our service is over. Point being is that God's Word is getting out there to the people at a rapid rate. You know, the one thing that excites me about the Gideon ministry when I first became a part of the Gideon ministry, when I first joined the Gideons, is, you know, right now throughout the world, we're in about 200 countries, and there's about 220 men and women, you know, the Gideons and their wives that make up the auxiliary throughout the world. You know, that's a big number, but, you know, we're talking worldwide, so, and that's in 200 countries. But the thing that excited me the most about it was every Gideon was a member of a Bible-believing church, just like this, that they're active in their local church, and the roots of the Gideon ministry has started in and continues to be founded in the local bodies of believers, just like you. I mean, I can look out and see a couple of Gideons right from where I stand, you know, just in this body. And I think you probably have more than a couple, right? You have Milt, and I see Mark, and Jim's gone, and I don't know if there's any more that attend this body. But the root of the ministry is in the Bible-believing churches, just like this. There was a testimony I heard one time. It was a young man. He was in the Ukraine. And, you know, I don't know what was going on in his life. The testimony didn't share. But he was at a point in his life where he didn't want to live his life anymore. And he had made the determination that whatever struggles he was dealing with, that he was going to end his life. And so there's a big, tall bridge in the city that he lived in, overlooking this river that ran through the city in the Ukraine. And he decided that he was going to walk his way up to the top of this bridge, and he was going to jump off. He had completely lost whatever hope that he might have ever had in this life. And it was kind of a blustery fall day. The wind was blowing, and he's walking up the pathway of this river to get up to the top of this bridge. And something came and kind of hit him across the face, thinking, you know, that it was a leaf off of one of the local, on the hardwoods that kind of line the river. He reaches up to wipe it away, knocks his glasses off, and finds out that it's a piece of paper. And what it was a single page out of a Gideon New Testament. And he opens up and he looks at this piece of paper. And I don't know, the story doesn't tell me exactly what book, what chapter, what verse touched his life so much. But it turned that young man around from his hike up to the bridge, and it headed back to town to find somebody to tell him about this Jesus that was on this piece of paper that hit him in the face. You know, we stand on God's truths and God's promises. Isaiah 55:11 tells us, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the things for which I sent it." God's word does not return void. Even a single ripped paper out of one of his testaments will produce fruit. I'm going to need these later because I can't see anymore. So, never used to be a problem. Now it's a problem. I had two choices. It was either I had to start, you know, swallowing a little pride and wearing some readers, or I had to replace my Bible with one with larger print. So this is the route we went. You know, the one thing that the Gideon ministry does is they do something that's called an international scripture blitz. And what the Gideons will do is they will really send a team to a particular geographical location, a city, a county, a particular area, and they will saturate, bombard, blitz that particular area with God's word in every possible venue that they can do it. Whether it's at police stations, at military facilities, at hospitals, in schools, you name it. The idea is for like a week-long period, this team of Gideons is just going to saturate an area with God's word and with prayer. And I read a testimony of a scripture blitz that they were doing, and it was in Uganda. And the team that day, they came in to find out what their assignment was. And their assignment was they were going out to this school way out in this far-out village to give out testaments to this little village school. So this team of Gideons, they get in their four-wheel drive Jeep, and they're heading out through the jungle roads, you know, and it takes them much longer to get there than intended. So they pull up to this village school, and there's no children. They had gone home for the day already, you know, but there was still a teacher there, you know. thank the Lord. And so she's like, oh, you guys don't go anywhere. Don't worry. And she goes over to the little village bell in front of the schoolhouse, and she starts pulling on the rope and ringing the bell. Before you know it, the kids, you know, that's the sign. They know that they need to come back to the schoolhouse. Pretty soon all the kids just start coming, and they start pouring in. And the Gideons had an opportunity to give every child a New Testament in that little village schoolhouse that day. And so after they were able to hand out their testaments, they got a chance to spend some time with the teachers that were there. And they go into this little schoolhouse grass hut facility that they had there. And there was a small bookshelf there. And on the bookshelf were a couple Gideon New Testaments. And that was it. It's the only books they had on the bookshelf in this little village school in Uganda. And so one of the Gideons, as they're talking to the teachers, one of the Gideons grabs this New Testament and by habit or by, you know, curiosity, opens up to the back page. Now, if you've never opened up to the back page of a Gideon New Testament, really, it walks you through the plan of salvation. I mean, it gives you all the verses to kind of be able to walk yourself through that. And then there's a little place here, you know, we call it the decision page, and it's a place where you can write your name and the date when you made the most important decision that you could ever possibly make in your life, that you wanted recorded, that you chose that day to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so this Gideon grabs his book off this little bookshelf, picks it up, and here on the back page of this little $1.25 testament, he counted 26 different names from the students in that school. God's word does not return void, and it will prosper wherever it's sent. 26 names. And it cost someone here in the United States, like I said, probably $1.25 for those 26 people to spend eternity with Jesus. It's a privilege to be here this morning, and I so thank you for the opportunity to come and to share of a ministry and a purpose that is very meaningful to me, to see God's word get in the hands of people and see people who do not know Jesus Christ become followers of Him and dedicate their lives to living the way He's asked us to live. My name is Jeff Cameron. I go to Fairview Bible right up the road. I wasn't born and raised here on the Olympic Peninsula, but my roots run quite deep. I'm a fourth generation Cameron that's lived here on the peninsula. There's a lot of us scattered around the country. My other side of the family, if you're from the Squim area, I'm tied into the Rotifer and Simders family, which were even here longer than the Camerons were. And so the Olympic Peninsula is home, even though I wasn't born and raised here. I didn't grow up in a Christian home either. You know, I had the opportunity to be introduced to Jesus when I was in high school. You know, a friend of mine, I loved to sing when I was in high school, a friend of mine invited me to come listen to a group that they were in called Glory to the Father. And I knew they sang in this group. Church group thing, you know, but they invited me to come listen to them one time, and so I really had a crush on this girl. I have to be honest with you. That's probably the only reason that I went that day was, you know, because I really had a crush on Bonnie, and so I was going to go listen to her sing, and so I went to this church, and it was like this Friday afternoon kind of a thing. You know, it wasn't a Sunday service; it was a Friday afternoon, some kind of special service, and I went there and I listened to this group of high schoolers who I knew, most of them, share about Jesus through music and through testimony. And, man, the Spirit of the Lord was in that church that day. And I there was something different about my friends that I saw up there. And when we got done, I'm like, I was kind of flabbergasted, to be honest with you. I'm like, I don't know what you're not telling me, but you know something that I don't know. And you need to share that with me. And in the months to follow, they kind of shared with me who Jesus was. And there on my bedroom floor, once during the summer, I remember it vividly, falling to my knees and asking Jesus to be the Savior of my life. Now, like I told you, I didn't grow up here on the peninsula, but I had an opportunity to come back to the peninsula when I got done with my military service. My father had retired back home to the family farm. So this is where I landed. This was where my family was. So I came to Port Angeles. My grandparents were still here. My dad had moved up here. And this is where I kind of planted and made my life. Found a church home at Fairview right up here on O'Brien. Have been there for a number of years and been blessed to be called to be their youth pastor for the last 3 to 4 years. And so it's really where my heart is to be able to share about Jesus to people and young people in particular. So if you don't mind, I'd just like to kind of open in a quick word of prayer, if you'd join me. And then I just have some things that I think God has laid on my heart that I just want to share with you this morning, since you've been so grateful to give me this opportunity. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for this morning. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come together just in the family of believers and to just lift and glorify you, to praise your name through music, through word, and through just the opportunity to know you better. Father, I just pray that our eyes are open to what you want us to see, that our ears are open to what you want us to hear, and that our hearts are open for the change that you are requiring in us. Father, I ask you to bless the service, bless the time, and bless the words that we are going to share. It's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. So there was a testimony I read the other day that really just kind of, grabbed me. I mean, it was one of those things that really kind of forces you to kind of one of those moments where you're like, am I living the way that I just heard? So again, it's a Gideon testimony. They were on an international scripture blitz. And this gentleman was his duty for the day. He was assigned. They were handing out testaments at a major university in Mexico City. And he's standing at the bottom of a stairway handing out New Testaments as students and people went by. Coming down the stairway, he sees, and this Gideon's from North Carolina. Coming down the stairways, he sees this guy wearing a Dallas Cowboys jersey, you know. And so he's like, yeah, go Cowboys, you know, trying to kind of relate to the guy. And the guy just kind of gives him the guy nod, like, yeah, whatever, you know. He gets down the steps to him, and he's like, would you like to have a copy of this Bible? And the guy's like, no, thanks. And he just keeps going, you know, kind of just brushes him off. And then Dallas Cowboys dude stops, looks at the Gideon, and he goes, why are you doing this? And, you know, Gideon is kind of taken back a little bit. He's like, well, you know, I'm with Gideon's International, and we're handing out God's word to people. He's like, no, I understand all that. And he looks him straight in the eye, and he goes, why are you doing this? And the Gideon paused, and he's like, because I love Jesus, and he told me that we should be doing this. The guy nods his head and walks off. And the Gideon, of course, figures, I'll probably never see this guy ever again in my life. And just continues to do what he's there to do and hand out these testaments. A few minutes later, here comes Dallas Cowboys dude again, and he's dragging a girl with him this time. And he goes, this is my daughter. I'm here to drop her off at college. And she thinks that success in the world is coming here, going to college, getting a good job, being able to buy a car, buy a house, and all those things. But I know deep in my heart that that's not what success is about. Would you be so kind as to share Jesus with my daughter? So the Gideon pulls out his New Testament, and he begins to kind of share with this girl the plan of salvation. He shares with her how much that God loves her, that God loves her so much that he sent his one and only Son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And shares with this girl that there's things called sin, these things that we do in our life that we've all been afflicted with, you know, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And those things have to be dealt with because there's a cost for those sins. And the wages of those sins is death. But your Creator loves you so much that he sent his only Son to pay the cost of those sins. And you could start to sense that this girl's whole demeanor is starting to soften. And he shares that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And right there, standing the three of them at the bottom of a stairway at a university in Mexico City, this girl bows her head. She confesses of the things that she's done wrong in her life, and she asks Jesus to come be the Lord of her life and commits to follow him and follow his commandments. That's what the ministry's all about. It's by seeing souls saved. But the thing that really caught me about that testimony was when Dallas Cowboys dude looked at the Gideon in the eyes and asked him, "Why are you doing this?" And the Gideon answered, "Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked us to do this." Did he not? Did he ask all of us to do this? I mean, it's a pretty common verse. I'm sure we all know it. We probably could all say it verbatim, right? Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given authority, all authority, in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded, and to be sure of this, that I will be with you even till the end of age." Those men that Jesus was speaking to that day, as he's standing there with his disciples before he ascends into heaven, they loved their Lord Jesus Christ. And they did what he asked them to do. They went into the world to share about Jesus Christ. We are testaments right here sitting in this room today as a fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ that those disciples went and made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made disciples, baptizing people and teaching them to obey all the commandments that the Lord Jesus gave them. And somewhere in the history of our lives, somebody reached out to one of us. It could be a parent that reached out to you somewhere in your upbringing and shared Jesus with you. It could be a girl like I knew in high school that invited me to listen to her sing. That was the opportunity. It could be somebody that invited you to a youth group at one time. It could be somebody that reached out and invited you to come to church. But somewhere, at some time, somebody had to make that invitation. That they had to go and make a disciple. That we can be here today. And that we can praise our Lord and Savior. And the one thing about the Great Commission, you know, to go and to make disciples, to teach and teach them to obey all the commands that I have given you. You know, I love that part if we put it together. To teach all the commands that I have given you. You know, and Jesus made it very simple for us to understand all these commands, you know. I mean, it's summed up pretty clearly, isn't it, in a couple different spots. You know, we have the Great Commission, but we also have the Great Commandments. Because this stuff isn't really all that complicated. And I'd like to share a little bit from Luke 10. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But the attorney, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'Well, and who is my neighbor?' And of course, Jesus answered with the parable we're all very familiar with, but that you're going to hear again. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side of the road. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by the other side of the road. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to the one who fell among the thieves? And he said to him, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." We carry out the Great Commission to make disciples with the Great Commandments in our heart. So we go out as witnesses with hearts of compassion, especially for those that are lost in a dying world and in need. And we know that the greatest need that anybody can have is the need to know Jesus. It trumps the needs of food, water, anything else. People need to know Jesus. So these two greats, the Great Commission, coupled with the Great Commandments, work together for a great life purpose. But the single overriding connection between all of it is love. Love is the root of all of that. God's love for us first. One, he loved us enough to create us. And he's loved humanity enough through the history of time to put up with our garbage, right? He could have ended this a long time ago. But we have a loving God who continues to redeem us, continues to rescue us, continues to save us, and continues to forgive us when we have a tendency of not being very forgiving. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. 1 John 4:9-10. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8. And as a result of God's amazing love that he pours out for us, is the love that we have the ability to pour out to one another. We love each other because he loved us first. 1 John 4:19. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. John 15:8-12. Now, Steve Hawthorne wrote in the Perspectives Readers. Now, he points out that the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded, and the Great Commandments of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, are of equal priority, but are not equal in nature. The Great Commission is a task that will someday be completed. Someday every tongue, tribe, and nation will have heard about Jesus Christ. But we have the opportunity and the ability and the joy to love our God forever and ever and ever and ever. Both are commanded, but one will be completed at some point in history, like I said. But that means that we cannot approach each with the same weight, nor can we neglect one over the other. But they're both similar in that they both are focused on God. The Great Commandment is loving God first, and the Great Commission results in people following God as disciples. And Hawthorne, he concludes that both work together, because we cannot effectively make disciples without love for others, right? And ultimately, the desire is to make disciples who love God and love others. You know, the need for love is great in our lives. And you know, sometimes you see it so greatly displayed with a child loving a parent. I heard this testimony, a man named Pat Shelton. He was 6 years old, and he wanted to do something to get attention for his father. He wanted his father to be happy with him. He wanted his father to spend time with him. So he's like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll get my dad a beer. So he walks over to the fridge, gets his dad a beer, and of course his little fingers can't open that thing yet, so he gets a spoon and he pops off the top and he takes it over to his dad, you know, puffed up because he's thinking his dad's going to be real proud of him. He's like, Dad, look what I did for you. His dad's like, well, you opened it, you drink it. 6 years old. Does that give you any indication of the kind of background and family lifestyle that poor kid had? He grew up in a tough environment. His dad was an alcoholic. His sister was a drug dealer. By the time he was 12 years old, he was selling drugs in school. By the time he was 17, he was kind of like a middleman drug dealer. He was addicted to things, but he was like, he would be the guy that collected the money, took it to the big time drug dealers. You know, he shares in his story that there was one time that he had 35 pounds of meth on his back, $250,000. There was like 72 cops chasing him, a couple of helicopters. I mean, he was on the run from the law, and he was a mess. They caught him, and they put him in jail. And one day when he was in jail, this Gideon walks into his cell, looks him in the eye, and tells him, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Well, Pat Shelton, he's tough and hardened. He's like, well, this Jesus guy obviously doesn't know too much about me then, because there's no way that he could love me. Well, this Gideon, his name's Charlie Waters, he spent a lot of time at the prison. So one day he was up there, and he had a gathering of men around there, and he was sharing about Jesus to this group of men. Well, big, tough, hardened Pat Shelton, as he's hearing Charlie Waters share about Jesus, kind of feels a tear welling up in his eye. You know, and he wasn't going for that. He fought it with all that he could. There's no way he could show emotion over something like this. But Charlie Waters, you know, he saw what was going on. And he reached in his pocket and he says, just do me a favor, Pat. Just read this. Spend some time reading this. So Pat began to read about Jesus. And as he shares in his testimony, you know, he read about all kinds of great characters in this book. But man, that Jesus had it going on. That's his own words. And as he continued to read about Jesus, it just broke through. He was like, this Jesus really died for me. And he fell to his knees in his prison cell. He's like, Jesus, I don't know anything about you, but I believe what I've been reading, that if you can take away this pain, this anger, this addiction, all these things that I've been dealing with my whole life, I give up. I surrender. Your life, my life is yours. And he's like, a voice as audible as could be spoke to him right then and there. And forgave Pat Shelton of all the things that he'd done and began to heal him of his entire background. Pat Shelton eventually got out of prison. And, you know, he made himself a promise the day he walked out of that jail. He's like, Lord, I am never coming back to this place again. Yeah, you know what it's like when you make a promise. A year to the date, the Lord called him into ministry and he was back in that prison, teaching Jesus to the other inmates in that prison. That's been about 12 years. And according to his testimony, they've seen 800 men walk out the doors of that jail as followers of Jesus Christ. And Pat Shelton, with tears in his eyes, said, you know, it was all because one man was willing to look me in the eyes and tell me the truth that Jesus loves me and that he loved me. And that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ and he was willing to do what Jesus asked us to do. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love one another. Let us show the truth by our actions. 1 John 3:18. We can talk all we want. But the Lord asks us to go. And go is an action word. The Lord asks us to teach. Teach is an action word. We need to show the truth by our actions. And in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. 1 James 2:17. Passion for God energizes our Christian life. It moves us from being spectators to being participants, from being mere hearers of the word to being doers of it. Loving God with our very souls will turn the commands of God from this, what we might think, this legalistic drudgery of rule following to the joy of life-giving opportunities that He's laid before us. We can say we love Jesus, but do our actions mirror what both the Great Commandments and the Great Commission have called us to do? Now, the preacher John Piper, he's got a little phrase when it comes to missions or evangelical outreach. He says you really have three choices in that regard. You either go, you send, or you disobey. There's no other choices. There was a young gal that when she grew up, she wanted nothing more in her life than to be a missionary. From the time she was little in Sunday school, she wanted to share with people about Jesus. But, you know, she had a real fear of talking to people and a real struggle communicating with people well. You know, she went on one short-term mission trip sometime during high school, and it was a great experience, but she still couldn't overcome the hurdle of sharing Jesus with other people. One day she's sitting at church, and some Gideon shows up to give a report, just like I'm doing today, and shares about the Gideon ministry. She was like, I can do that. I can help that. I can participate there. I can help people learn about Jesus this way. And so at first, her and her husband, all they did was, you know, they would take the cards in the back, you know, the Gideon cards, and they would do that. They would send Gideon cards for everything, knowing that the money from those Gideon cards were going to be buying Bibles, and those Bibles were going to go into someone's hands. And when the word of the Lord is in someone's hand, we know that it doesn't return void, that God's work will be done in that. And they felt good about that. And then finally, they asked her husband if he would want to join the Gideons. And through that opportunity, she joined the auxiliary, and now she gets to actually place God's word in different places around town. They'll go on the medical distributions, and she'll get to place God's word in people's hands. And she's now a missionary that she's always wanted to be. And really the moral of the story is we are all missionaries, all with the one purpose of working together to be obedient to what God has called all of us to do, and that is to go and make disciples of all nations, to teach them to obey all that He has commanded, and trusting that He is with us always, even till the end of the age. I told you earlier that what I really appreciated about the Gideon ministry was the relationship between the local church and the Gideons. You are all members of the Gideons. You have all participated in helping people be reached for the Lord when you support the Gideon ministry. And I thank you for it. The Lord thanks you for it. And I just pray for our continued growth together as we reach out and try to save the lost for the Lord. And I'll leave you with this. From the words of that North Carolina Gideon standing at the foot of a stairway, talking to Dallas Cowboys dude, I do this because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has asked us to do this. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You and praise You for today. I thank You for this opportunity to share. I thank You for Your glorious nature. Father, I thank You for loving us beyond the words that I can put into my mouth. Father, thank You for putting the burdens on our heart to share the love that you have for us with the people in a dark and dying world. Father, I pray that when we walk out the doors today, that we will be inspired to be that person to make that invitation, to be that person that just says, hey, let's have coffee. I have something to share with you. And that you will be glorified in all those opportunities. Father, I thank you for this body, and I ask you to bless them in all the endeavors that they have. And know that you are glorified in them. I just ask this ever so humbly in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.